Good evening, everyone. Welcome you back to our second night of Vacation Bible School. And we'd especially like to welcome our visitors. We've got two families from Northern Oaks that are visiting with us. They brought their kids, so thank you for being here. Last night, Brother Joel talked about the prophecy of Jesus and how it was fulfilled, how God, through time, fulfilled the coming of Christ. We read in Genesis chapter 3, and I'd just like to kind of go over a little bit of last night's lesson before we go into tonight's lesson. And last night's lesson was Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the chosen one. Jesus the anointed one. And so once again, we studied about how God, it was prophesied about Jesus. And so we see that Jesus was born. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy. But we see how time goes on. And as that prophecy comes to be about Jesus, we see that the word, and I wanted to talk about this, the word Messiah. The word Messiah is the anointed one. So we see that Jesus is the anointed one. He is the chosen one. He is the one that God has chosen. I'd like to read a couple of verses if we let me get my notes here. And I'd like to talk also about Jesus being Emmanuel. In Matthew chapter 1, 20 through 23, it says that Jesus talks about Jesus being born. And he is Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. So this is why Jesus is the anointed one. He is the chosen one. So the prophecy has come to be. We also talked about Abraham and God telling Abraham that he would bless him. And he tells him what? In thy seed, all nations shall be blessed. We read Genesis chapter 3. When Eve disobeys, and scripture there says that what's going to happen? And it's talking about Jesus. It's a prophecy.
I will put enmity between your seed and her seed.
And your seed. So it's a prophecy about leading to Jesus Christ. And so we see the importance and how God has brought this Messiah. He has brought the anointed one. He has brought us closer to him through his son, Jesus Christ. And so tonight, the title of tonight's lesson is Jesus the Lord. Now let's think about these words, Jesus the Lord. What do we think of when we hear the word Lord? If scripture says that Jesus, and we'll read some scripture, when it says that Jesus is Lord, what's it saying? Do you call anyone Lord? No, we don't. But scripture says that Jesus is Lord. So it's someone that lords over us. Now, why is he Lord? Why is Jesus Lord? Because he paid the price. He shed his blood for our sins.
It says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 36, that he is Lord because God made him both Lord and Christ.
And we'll get to that verse in just a bit, but you're right. You know, that that verse, and I'm going to talk about it because the first thing I'd like to do is for us to see about Jesus being Lord, but as he was here on this earth. When that scripture is mentioned, Jesus has already died. Jesus has already resurrected. Jesus has already ascended to heaven. So those words are the spiritual Lord of Jesus Christ. But the first thing I'd like to do is for us to see why he is Lord. And so let's open our books to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. And I'd like for us to read, even though it doesn't use the word Lord in these verses, but we see what God has done with this Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, let's begin with verse 8. Now he's comparing, because it seems like the writer of Hebrew, what's happening there is they're struggling. You know, that the angels are greater, you know, Abraham is greater. But the writer of Hebrews says, no, Jesus Christ is greater than the angels. And this is where we pick up, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. And this is what God has said about his Son. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of the kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remaineth, and they all shall wax old as dust a garment. So we see here that God says that Jesus is what? Talking about Jesus and comparing him to the angels and all these other men that they think are greater than Jesus. He says, thy scepter of righteousness. Uses the word scepter here a few times. When I think about this word, and I looked it up again today, but I'd looked it up before, and we know what a scepter is, right? Okay, royalty and authority. So this is what God is saying about Jesus Christ. He is the scepter of righteousness. And this is I was going to say this. This is kind of what I picture in my mind, and you correct me if I'm wrong. a king, because we usually see a king with the scepter, right? Because he has authority. And this is what I think. You put that scepter on person in front of you, you're giving that person the what? The authority. And so God is saying that, you know, Jesus is the scepter. And another thing that we see here in these verses that we just read is that Jesus was from the beginning. If we go back to the book of Genesis, when God is creating man, what does he say? Let what? Us create man in our own image. So we see there that it's God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we see then that Jesus, and this is why verse 10 says that you have been since the beginning, talking about Jesus Christ. And keep this in mind, in back of your head, this is why Jesus is Lord. And there's several other verses that I could think of. My mind also goes to John chapter 14, you know, where Jesus, beginning with verse 1, he tells his disciples, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Are many mansions." He says, "And I go there to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, what? You may be there also." This is what God has done with Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus Christ is Lord. Now let's go to chapter 1, the same book of Hebrews, and let's go with verse 1. And this is kind of goes with yesterday's lesson, because we see here that God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but now hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So we see again that Jesus was from the beginning. He says, in time past, God spoke through the prophets, but now he speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Once again, this is why Jesus is Lord. And the reason I mention John chapter 14 is because of what verse 3 has to say here. And this is what where Jesus is. He says, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." So who better than being Lord than Jesus? Because like we read in John chapter 14, it says here that Jesus is where? Sitting at the right hand of God. And what did we just say in that John says? That I go to prepare a place for you. So if Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, he is God, he's saving a place for you and for me. And this is why here in the book of Hebrews, It says that Jesus is better than the angels. Greater than Moses and Abraham. Now, we said that we were going to read some verses where when Jesus was alive, did they call him Lord? Yes, they did. But they also called him what? They called him a blasphemer, because what did he, Jesus said that they were saying, well, you're saying that you're what? That you're God. That's impossible. How can you be God? The physical Jesus, the human Jesus. How can you be God? You say that you're Lord. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 6. And again, they're calling him Lord here in these verses. Let's read verse 46. And this is what Jesus is telling the Pharisees. He says, why call me ye Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? So they're just talking from the mouth. You know, they're not calling him Lord, God. We can say that they're mocking him. Verse 45, this is what Jesus says, as good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth that which is good, and evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So this is what they were doing. This is what the Pharisees were doing. Doesn't it happen to us sometimes as well? You know, sometimes we might say something in a joke, but we say it, why? Because it's in here, you know. Do we really mean it? Sometimes we do. Again, you know, in a joke. In that type of manner. But what does Jesus say? What's in your heart is what you're going to speak out. And this is why he tells them, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And do not do the things which I say. Let's turn over to John chapter 13. We see another example here. Verses 12 and 13. And this is after Jesus has washed his disciples' feet. He says to them last part of verse 12, know ye what I have done to you? Verse 13 says, you call me master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. So we see here that Jesus, you know, he is being called Lord and he is being called master. And he's saying, that's right. I am Lord. I am Master. So how is Jesus our Lord, or how is Jesus our Master? Can we give an example of this? Okay, so if we obey him, is what you're saying, we show that he is our Lord and Master. And once again, when we talked about the scepter and having authority, Jesus says here, he says that he is the Master and Lord of us. Verse 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So Jesus has given them this example as far as washing their feet. Being the Master, being Jesus, being Lord, washes his disciples' feet. Would you get down and wash my feet? And I'm looking at Juan. He's the closest one. You'd think about it. Thank you, sir.
Perfect timing. Thanks, Obed.
So we see here the example that Jesus is giving his disciples. It's a sign of what? Even though he's Master, he's Lord, he's humbling. And he's telling the disciples, I want you to do what? The same. So once again, we see here, this is why Jesus is Lord. This is why Jesus is our Master. Let's look at another example in Matthew chapter 7. We see here the example that Jesus gives us. And it's not, once again, it's not calling Jesus Lord from the mouth out, but it's being obedient to God through his son Jesus Christ. This is where he becomes our Lord and our Master. Let's see what he says here in Matthew chapter 7. And let's begin with verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So I read this and I think, okay, how many people out there call Jesus Lord, Lord? How many other religions?
The majority
called Jesus Lord. Now, once again, it goes back to being obedient to God's word. So not just because we call Jesus Lord, Lord, he says, you shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. So there is people out there calling him Lord, Lord. But what is Jesus telling us here? Not everybody that calls me Lord, you know, is being truthful, is being honest. What's going to happen to us on that day? Verse 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So it takes more than just saying it, Lord, Lord. They were calling Jesus Lord. What they called the Pharisees, they were hypocrites, weren't they? Because they'd get up and pray long prayers, and it wasn't about the prayer, but it was about the length of the prayer. It was about being seen, being heard. And I think that we also fall into some of these things, once again, how many people out there, are calling him Lord, Lord, are professing that Jesus is Lord? I've been listening to a debate, and I really don't like them because it doesn't really take you anywhere. But they were debating about baptism, and they don't get anywhere with the debate. And I forgot what I was going to say about that, but Adam.
He said, right, did Isaiah prophesy? As it is written, people honor me with their lips, but their hearts. But in vain they do worship, teaching the doctrine of priestess.
There we go. And that was Mark chapter 6. And so, also, we see another example where they cling to Abraham, don't they? The Jews cling to Abraham, and he says, hey, he's our father. What's Jesus' respond to that?
If you were their son, you would listen to me.
If you were, sons of Abraham, you wouldn't be wanting to kill me. You'd listen to me, but they weren't. And it goes back to the verses you just read. It's just, from the lips out, vain worship to God. So we see then that the physical side of Jesus and when he was alive, that he said he was Lord, and they called him Lord, and like we said, some of them mocked him, but, by the miracles and everything that he did, he showed that he was the Son of God. And again, we could see that this is the, we're seeing that this is the promise that God makes to Abraham, that in thy seed all nations shall be blessed. And so it's in Jesus Christ, that seed, Jesus Christ. If we read Matthew chapter 1, we read the descendants of Jesus, and we see that it's in that Christ that not only the Jews but the Gentiles or the whole world. That's salvation. Yes, sir. Brother Joe.
I think that's important is when they called him Lord, Lord, he didn't repeat that. He didn't say, oh, don't call me Lord. So that just proves that he was Lord. And if we look at the transfiguration, God said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And Abraham and Elijah were there. But he said, no, Old Testament, you promised, you listen to him. I want to put it in this word, he's the boss, he's the one.
He's the one with the, again, Lord, he is the one with the authority. And we'll see here just a minute, because even other verses, Matthew chapter 28, what does Jesus say to his disciples when he sends them out? All authority has been given to me. So this is why Jesus is Lord. But I wanted us to see, you know, the physical side. And here in a few minutes, we'll cut for a 10, 15 minute break. And when we come back, then we'll talk about Acts chapter 2. Because once we read it, like we said, once we read it there, you know, and I see that even the apostles were amazed. And he said, you know what? He is the God. He is Lord. So you know, any more comments on Jesus being Lord? And the reason why I wanted to read, well, we didn't read them, but John chapter 1 takes us what? To the beginning. First John chapter 1, it does the same thing. It tells us about Jesus being from the beginning. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is this is why God has made this Jesus Lord. And this is why also we mentioned that he is the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one. And we said that Emmanuel meant that God with us. How is God with us? Through Jesus Christ. And then we read in Hebrews chapter 1 that God spoke through the prophets, but now speaks to us through his Son. So there we see this is why Jesus is Lord. Any comments that anyone would, anything we'd like to add? Raul.
In a way, it also ends with Emmanuel in Matthew chapter 28, because he promises never to leave us. So it begins with him, God with us, and then his promise, I will always be with you. So it begins with Emmanuel, it ends with Emmanuel.
Okay. And we also talk, you know, the same thought in mind, we read it in Hebrews chapter 1. Let me go back over there, because chapter 1, verse 8, the throne, O God, is forever and ever. You know, it's eternal. You know, this is once again why he is Lord. The church that he established in and we'll hopefully we will talk about this in Matthew chapter 16. You know, about the church. You know, and the church is, and it was also prophesied that the church is eternal. And I say that because I hear, and even within the brethren, we say that, you know, with everything going on in this world, the church is not going to exist anymore. That's impossible. Because Scripture tells us that it is what? Eternal. Even though we see these things, you know, and we think the, you know, that it's not possible, you know, if God guided them through the prophets and was able to bring the Christ, you know, don't you think that when he says that the church is eternal, that that's also going to be accomplished. The other reason why it's eternal, you know, and there is going to be a church is because of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Says that Jesus will come for what? For his church. So if Paul is telling me there that Jesus is going to come for his church, it means that the church is going to what?
Exist.
It's going to exist till that day and continue. So let's leave that thought here. Like I said, when we come back, we'll take, if we be back by 8 o'clock, hopefully we can talk about that side of Jesus being Lord, the spiritual side, and you know, how they used it. And so I think it's also interesting to know this. Okay, let's get back to our lesson, and welcome back. Thanks for coming back. We've got about, I'd say, 20, 25 minutes. So what we'll try to do is like 5 minutes, between 5 and 10 minutes before, we'll just kind of, you know, just go over everything, and if you have any verses or any scripture that you would like to mention, you know, gladly like to hear what you have to say, you know, about tonight's lesson. So like we said earlier, this is why Jesus is Lord. And so now we're going to look at the spiritual side of Jesus being Lord. So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Now we know what's happening in Acts chapter 2, don't we? It's the day of Pentecost. The church is about to be established. It's about to begin. Church that Jesus Christ died for, here in Acts chapter 2, we see that this is where it begins. And we'll go to Matthew because Jesus says, you know, that he will establish, he will build his church. So let's begin with Acts chapter 2, and again we're looking now at the spiritual side. It's not the physical Jesus being called Lord, but it's the spiritual Lord. How we need to see Jesus, and I find it fascinating that these men, the apostles, his disciples, they were witnesses to these things happening. And that's what I'd like to bring up here in a few minutes. So let's read beginning with verse 36. Well, let's begin with verse 32. This Jesus is God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. And so what's going on the day of Pentecost? They're hearing what? There's Jews, because Jesus tells them to wait. He tells his apostles, his disciples, to wait where? In Jerusalem, right? He says, you need to wait in Jerusalem, because they're waiting for this to happen. But the Jews, because we see all through history that they don't all speak the same language. You know, I think by reading scripture, I think, okay, they all spoke the same language, you know, they all understood, but no, because what? We see that, was it Stephen? Was in Egypt. They were in Babylon. You know, they were in other parts of the country. So they didn't all speak the same language. So what's happening there is they're listening or they're hearing these men and they're understanding what they're preaching.
Different languages.
In different languages. And so, and if you read the whole chapter, beginning with chapter 2, verse 1, you know, you get an idea of what's going on. So this is going on. And so Peter says here, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof all are witnesses. So they've witnessed this Jesus. They've seen him physically. They've touched this Jesus. They've been with him. I believe that you read, Joel, yesterday that Jesus, I don't know where, but Jesus started his ministry at 30 years old, right? And so these men were with Jesus through how many years? About 3 years. So they're looking at this. They're being witnesses of this Jesus, the human Jesus. But then they're going to see, okay, well, he's telling us after he has died, after Jesus has resurrected, and we'll read this in just a few minutes, he tells them, you wait in Jerusalem. You know, because this is what's going to happen. It's going to be the start of the church. So let's continue reading because we'll run out of time. Verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not the ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, talking about Jesus, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Verse 36, and these are the verses that we're going to deal with. He says here, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. And so I could just imagine them, you know, and I've said this time and time again, you know, when I tell you a story, you might tell someone else, but by the time it gets to the other person, you know, it's just a totally different story, you know, and you may not yourself not even believe it, you know. But them being witnesses of this, he says they are told. He says that assuredly this Jesus, God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 41 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And so this is what I'd like to say. This is what is being said there, that this Jesus... And once again, I can't emphasize enough that these men were witnesses. You know, they're telling them, we saw it. I've seen it. I've been there. I've done that. And I saw him resurrect. I was with him. How do I know this? Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Let's begin with verse 1. And this is just some of the story of when Jesus died and resurrected. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So what's happening here in chapter 1? After Jesus has died, he resurrects on the third day. He appears to whom? To the disciples. And what's his intentions? What's he teaching them? What's he telling them?
And you will receive power.
Okay. And we see what it says here. In the last part of verse 3. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? He's telling them about the church. So we see here, and this is the point I'd like to make, is these men were witnesses. These people were witnesses. They saw him alive. You know, and I often ask myself this question, so how do we believe? How is he our Lord if I haven't seen him physically?
Wait.
By faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. What does it say? Without faith, for he that comes to him must what? Believe that he is. So we must believe by faith that he is. The apostles were witnesses, but we believe by faith that Jesus Christ has resurrected and that he will come for us. And so without faith, he says that it is impossible to please God. And so we see here, let's continue reading here in Acts chapter 1. And so we see that Jesus is speaking to them the things that are pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Talking about the day of Pentecost, what was going to happen to them. And once again, if we continue reading the rest of chapter 1 and into chapter 2, we can understand what he's saying there. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, they're calling him Lord here, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And this is why when we read in chapter 2, where it says that this Jesus, God has made, the same Jesus whom God has made, that you have crucified both Lord and Christ, is because, once again, they were there. They were witnesses, and they're saying, he is Lord. He is God. And another thing that I wanted to mention is that these men were still thinking in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, they're thinking what? The kingdom is what? Physical. And I believe that Joel mentioned that in his lesson yesterday. You know, it didn't all click you know, at once. It's like us, when we study God's word, do we understand every little thing? No, we don't, you know? It just, you know, we continue to read, we continue to study, you know, and then, okay, it makes sense now. You know, they're thinking physical. Because of David, because of Solomon, they had kings. And so they're thinking, okay, the kingdom's going to be restored physically. This is what Jesus is talking about. Well, no, he's not. You know, it's a spiritual kingdom. Brother Joe.
Before the church began, when Christ appeared to the disciples, at one time Thomas was not there. And then what happened was he came back 8 days later, and then Thomas saw him, and then Thomas called him, "My Lord, my God." And then the Lord said, "Because you have seen me, you believe me. Blessed are those who have not seen me yet believe." So that's the point right there.
Yes, exactly what we've been talking about right now. You know, we call him what? Doubting what? Doubting Thomas, don't we? Because he doubted this Jesus. You know, and I had that verse written down. So we see then that these men were witnesses of all these things happening. And let's continue to read, because it also fascinates me that even after the time that Jesus, after his resurrection, he spends time with these men and talking to them about the kingdom, you know, and everything that's going to happen. But then they also see him what? In verses 9, 10, and 11. What happens to Jesus in Acts chapter 1? They see him ascend. And this is where scripture, where he says that he's sitting at the right hand of God. And so they were told, you know, there's two men there standing beside them, and they're told, you know, what are you doing gazing up at this Jesus? The way you see him, you know, is it descent or ascend? Is he going up into heaven? Ascend. He will come back. So all this, you know, all this happening with these men. And then they're preaching about this Jesus on the day of Pentecost. And we continue to preach Acts according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel. What is it? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, sir.
If the church didn't exist, now, I don't think the church would, the world would exist, because he's coming back for the church, and that's the reason why he's coming back for the church.
Okay. Let's turn over to Matthew. We said we were going to read Matthew chapter 16. And this also amazes me because, you know, Jesus is still alive, you know, during this time. And he asked his disciples, he says, well, you know, what are they saying about me? Who do they say that I am? Who do they say that the Son of Man is? What's Peter's answer? Okay, but before that, he says, what is the world? What is people out there saying about this Jesus?
Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.
So we see what they thought of this Jesus, what they thought about the Lord. But then we see Peter's answer. This is what Brother Joe just read. And whom do you say that I am? There we again, we see these men understanding and knowing that he is Jesus, the Lord. What does Peter say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, well, you know, who gave Peter that answer? God. We see how the prophecy is still, you know, continuing. So Peter says, or Jesus says, you know, let me get there. Matthew chapter 16. He says in verse 17, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And again, this is another reason why the church will exist as well, because Jesus is telling us here. He will build his church. And there's a lot of things we can say about these verses. You know, there's a lot of ways we could learn from what Jesus is saying here. It's not upon the world things. There's some people out there think that it's upon Peter. But it's not on Peter. It's on the confession that he has made. That Jesus Christ is what? That's what it's based on. And so, not even death, you know, can hold us back.
When people say that the church failed to exist, There are people that make that claim, the Mormons and others, they make that claim. Then what they make is they make Jesus's promise not true, not valid. Because he promises that not even the gates of hell or gates of Hades shall prevail against it. So when somebody says that the church failed to exist, then what they're saying is that the gates of Hades prevailed against it. That's what they're saying. That Christ lied, but that's not the truth. And so when people make that comment, maybe you need to pump the brakes a little bit and review the scripture.
Exactly. And the last verse, and once again, it was mentioned last night, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go there. We've got about 5 minutes. And this is what we said earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. This is what Paul is saying here. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Talking about Jesus Christ. So he will come for his kingdom, and we have to be found in his kingdom. This is why Jesus is Lord. And so we have to be found in his kingdom. Now, the other verses that I wanted to mention is same chapter, verse 55. Talking about death. What does Paul say? Oh, death. And according to Jesus, and what we read in Matthew chapter 16. you know, that not even death can hold him down, because as we've read and as we've studied through this lesson, that these men were witnesses of his death, burial, and resurrection. And he spent time with them. And so I like what the Apostle Paul has to say here. He says, "O death," and it also pertains to us. And it's because Jesus Christ, once again, it's because of the gospel, because Jesus Christ died, was buried, and he resurrected from the dead, makes it possible for us, because he says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord. See what he says here? Through our Lord, Jesus Christ. And so not even death. Because eventually, if Jesus doesn't come for the second time, you know, I'm getting older. I can't believe I'm 61 years old, you know. I still think as a high schooler, but my body is, you know, telling me different, you know. So, you know, but not even death, not even your death, you know. But there's victory in Jesus Christ. So is there any more comments, anything we want to add to tonight's lesson?
When Christ asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" It's the same question to us. Who do we say that Christ is? So we have a responsibility to answer that question and obey his commandments.
I have it written down. See if I can find it. Oh, can't find it. But thank you once again for your attendance and for being here tonight. And so we'd like to close with a prayer.